Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Hopefully you all brought a Bible. If you didn't, I think there's one in the pew there somewhere. Or you can look on with somebody. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. And truly, Lord, the blessings You've given us. Lord, we do ask that You would, in a special way, be with each person here tonight. Things that may be on their hearts. Lord, our prayer requests we brought out this morning, have Your will with each one. Lord, we do ask in a special way that You would be with the nation of Israel in their uproar that's happening there. Lord, we do know that You protect them in a special way, and we thank You for it. Lord, we pray for them. Put a hedge of protection about them. We do ask that You would bless this church as we seek to send out Your word, Lord, the truth, that we don't water it down. And Lord, that it would go out and touch hearts of those that are listening, whether through social media or here in person. We thank You for that. I ask You to be with me as I bring Your word. Lay on my heart and tongue what You would have me to say, and that I would be bold to say what You would have me to say. And we thank You. Lord, these things I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap of the flesh." For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I want to break some of these verses down tonight. The Apostle Paul here is describing the spiritual life of a believer that lives under grace, not under law. And it's a life of liberty, not bondage. Galatians chapter 5, and I think 1 through 25, speaks about that, about being under bondage, being under liberty. And one, really and truly, if we're living in the Spirit, not in the flesh, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be living in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That it's not always easy. But anyway, let's get to where I want to get to. There is a law that the believer should obey. We're not tied to these Ten Commandments, although they're good. They're a good thing for us to look at. They're good things to follow. But we're not tied to that, especially such as the Jew was during that day in what was Paul was talking about. But there is a law that we're to live by. Do you believe that? It's the law that the Lord gives us. John 13:34 says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another." That's the new law. If we'll love one another as Christ loved us, boy, we could go a long way. He said, "As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." So that's one way that people will know that if we love one another, people understand that. They get that. The Spirit of God, by the way, is the Spirit of love, because God is love. Peace, brother. Love. No, that ain't what it's talking about. God is love. If we're walking in the Spirit, let me throw this in there. There's people that will say, well, you're one of those Baptists that believe once you get saved, you're always saved, and you can't ever lose that salvation. Good grief. I got two amens. Listen, if you think you can lose your salvation, I pity you. I really do. I pity you, because that's a scary way to live my life. To live my life not knowing minute by minute whether I'm going to go to heaven, that's scary. That I couldn't handle that. I know some people that believe that from in different areas that I've been. I couldn't lay down at night and sleep comfortably. Not with peace if I had the idea that, well, I might have messed up today. I don't remember messing up, but I may have. And I'm going to wake up, hell, let it. And that ain't what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're sealed into the day of redemption. When's the day of redemption? The rapture. That's going to happen. By the way, do you realize Netanyahu lost his job?
No.
That ain't good if you live in Israel. It may be real good for us. Because, and it's specific. Listen, I just assume Biden and them go ahead and turn their back on Israel. We're going to have some suffering, but boom, we're out of here. Because it's going to happen, by the way. The United States ain't in the Bible, if you really want to know the truth. You can't find it. I challenge you, find it. It ain't in there. So one of these days, it's going to happen. We're going to turn our back. And when we do, this country is going to be cursed beyond what we could ever imagine. Everybody that's ever turned their back on Israel has just went down the tube. A bunch of them have. But anyway, I better get back to where I was at. Spirit of God, it's love, because God is love. And if we're walking in the Spirit, that's where I went south at. We won't use our liberty. As people say, once saved, always saved. So I just drop and just live like hell. No, it don't work like that. If I'm truly walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to use my liberty to do those things. I'm really not. If I'm walking in the Spirit, my life is going to have the light of Christ in it. I'm not going to use my liberty to go out and just live like however I want to. Selfishly, for selfish purposes. I'm not going to do that if I'm walking in the Spirit. The most miserable person in the world, the mostest. Is that a good... She's shaking her head. The mostest miserable person in the world is a believer who is not walking in the Spirit. A believer who has basically turned their back and said, nah, I'm going to just live up and do whatever I want. Listen, I'll be honest with you. According to what I read, that person will go to heaven, but they'll smell like hell when they get there. It says so. Jude says so. The smoke's on them. They'll pass over hell feeling the heat. I don't know how that works, but anyway. I believe they'll be there, but if I'm truly walking in the Spirit, I'm not going to use that liberty that I have in Christ for selfish purposes. I'll allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through me to do what? To help others. That's what these first 10 verses we just read, really that's what it's about. We're going to get to something in a minute and see if you agree with me. That's good. Anyway, we'll get there in a minute, but I'm going to use my resources. Whether it's praying for people, whether it's materialistic, whatever, I'm going to use that to help others. Jesus, by the way, lived for others. We're supposed to follow His example. Amen? That's kind of weak, but it was an amen. So, but we're free from the law. But being free from the law doesn't mean that we're independent of one another. We're not. No man is an island to himself. We like to think we are sometimes, but we're not. Listen, we're kind of like horses. I like to compare humans to horses. I trained horses for a lot of years. And I enjoyed training horses. And we're kind of like those, though. I do a lot of comparisons with them. But one way we're kind of like that is to really, truly have joy and to be happy, we got to be around each other. Amen. That's just the way it works. You take a horse and put him by himself, and he'll adapt. But on a norm, they're depressed. They like to be with other horses. I like to be with other people. That's why God said, He looked down there at Adam, and Adam went through all the animals, and He named them all, and there's the monkey, and then there was the ape, and there was the camel, and I don't know what else. And he's looking around like, And God said, hey, it ain't good that he's alone. So He made Eve. Because we need to be with people. Now, we're not separated from each other. We are members of the same family. The same family. When you get saved, you become a member of the family of God. Through the common salvation. Now, I ain't saying that, but well, it's just salvation. That's what Jude says, common salvation. We become a member of the family of God. It's a huge family. I couldn't tell you how many are in it. Moses is in it. I'm pretty sure my wife's in it. I'm pretty sure. Let me look around. Most of you guys are in it. I don't know about Nick. Anybody with a black beard and gray, I don't know. It either needs to be solid white, brother, or just shave it off. No, I'm kidding. We're all, if we're saved, we are members of the same family. And bless their heart, there's people like Tony just bald. It shines, he's so bald. And his tan, you ever notice his tan line? Comes up to here. Anyway. We're members of the same family, the common salvation, and we can be members of the Lord's church, and there are special blessings by being a member of the Lord's church. The Bible says so. It honestly does. It states there's blessings and there's parables about it. You got the parable of the talents. You got the all these labor parables he talks about in Matthew. We're not going to go read all them, but there's a bunch of them, and it's all part of being part of the Lord's church, because it's a special thing. And by the way, members of the Lord's family, members of the Lord's church, we're to minister to guess who? Each other. That's what we're to do. Spiritual help. We read 1 through 5. If somebody falls down, they got problems, if they get caught up in it, we're to help bear one another's burdens. And we've got to be careful doing that. Let's say a believer suddenly caught up in the enemy, by the enemy, falls into sin. Whether it be accidental or whether it be on purpose. Our attitude as a good Baptist ought to go over and kick them while they're down. Get on them. You dog! I can't believe you did something that stupid. I mean, that might be what you're thinking. But you need to remember now, you better look in the mirror. According to the Bible, don't think too highly of yourself. You get caught up in the same mess. I'd never do that. There's a certain place out in the middle of nowhere. It's where somewhere and nowhere come together.
I'm serious. It's in southeast Colorado. I used to shoe a horse out there, one horse. I'd drive all 40 miles to the nearest store. And I told her, you'd have to be an idiot to live out here. It wasn't that many years later we lived out there.
Our nearest neighbor was 5 miles. The nearest store was 38 miles. We were closer to Kansas than we were to the nearest store in Colorado. Well, actually, you could see it out the back door. You could walk to the state line from my house. Never say never. You can be there. And God does have a sense of humor. What did He say? I know I didn't hear Him right, Gabriel. What did He say? Oh, watch it. No, I don't know. That's just kind of jokingly. But listen, things happen. So we got to be careful when someone falls into sin. But our attitude ought to be not of judgment and condemnation. Honestly, if we're walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, bearing fruit through the Spirit, we'll seek to restore that person. We'll seek to show the love of God to that person and try to help them back. Now, I do understand that sometimes you got to put into action. What's that word people don't like? Church discipline. Every now and then, that's got to happen. But as a norm, if we'll go and put forth that effort with love and meekness and gentleness, you'd be surprised how far that'll go. You see, here's the problem with the word restore, by the way. If you look it up in the Greek, it's a medical term. And it's actually talking about resetting a broke leg. If there's one in the body of Christ within us, wagon wheel, that's living in sin, it's like they got a broke leg. Who's had a broke leg in here? Yeah. Ain't no fun. I walked a mile holding on to my saddle horn because I couldn't get back up after I broke my leg. Well, my horse broke it. But anyway, after I broke my leg, it was not easy. That's the way the Lord's church, when we've got people that live that way and have a heart that way, that's what happens. We're just crippling along. And it's sad, but it's true. We all affect each other whether we like it or not. Now, Christians who are members of the Lord's church, by the way, part of the body of Christ, and a Christian in sin weakens the body. But like I said, we do, every now and then, you got to do some church discipline. You can find that over in Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Sometimes that has to take place. I'm going to admit, years ago, that had to take place with yours truly. I had to apologize, and I won't go into detail all about it. Ain't none of your business. But nonetheless, it had to be done. I've seen other people do it. My aunt dug up some records from one of my uncles, great uncles, and he apologized to the church about once a month, maybe once every 2 months. Because he'd go out dancing and they'd catch him. Somebody'd see his car parked at the honky tonk and they'd bring it before the church and they'd go talk to him. I'm guilty. And he'd come in, apologize, and he'd run straight for a while. And then they'd catch him out again, doing a little sipping, a little dancing. Sometimes you got to enact that. You got to put it into action. But there are, now, what's he saying? Where is it at? Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We are to bear each other's burdens. We do that with prayer requests, for one. When people bring prayer requests out, that's bearing one another's burdens, because I know how bad somebody's praying for somebody or something's going on in a person's life. So I'm taking time to do that, to pray for them. That's considering what we're talking about there. Now, there's some burdens that we can share with others, but there's also some that we got to carry ourselves. It ain't nothing nobody can do for me. About all they can do for me is me to say, I don't even want to bring it up. I just look at them and say, you know, pray for me. I got some issues going on. May not be something I want to bring out, but we need to be doing that. But now, one thing we need to understand, we can't avoid our own responsibilities in the process of seeking to help others. We've got to take care of ourselves. We've got to take care of our wife. We've got to take care of our husband. We've got to take care of our family. You can't just ignore, and while I'm doing the Lord's business, I'm bearing somebody else's burdens, but in the process you're making a burden on your own. That ain't good. We're not supposed to be doing that. The verse 6. So the believer who listens. So, all right, let me back up. So, in other words, we got to have a spirit of meekness when we're working with people. We got to have a spirit of meekness when we're helping carry someone else's burdens. That love of the Lord. We need to do that. Listen, I don't have to get on to a person when they've fallen in sin. I don't have to do that. The Lord's already beaten them up enough. If they're saved, listen, they're getting high in Torah. That's why I figured it out anyway. Is because I can see it all over a person. And let the Lord take care of it. Let Him take care of the judging part and the rewarding part, because He don't mess up like we do. Now, the believer that listens to the Word, look at verse 6. Let him that is taught in the Word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, the believer that listens to the Word ought to share material blessings with those who teach, with all those of the household of faith. This is a lesson in verses 6 through 8. Do you hear my verse I want to bring up here in a second? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now, most of the time we apply verse 7 and verse 8 to, well, Tony's out there living it up, sinning willfully. You don't reap what you sow. Now, that's a good principle. It really is. That ain't what this is talking about. But we use it for that. I've used it for that. I even told somebody one time, I said, go ahead and sow what you want to sow, man. You plant corn, you're going to get corn. You plant peas, you're going to get peas. Go for it. Honestly, though, that ain't what this is talking about. When you take it out of context, we can make it work that way. And by the way, it's a good scripture for that. It's a good principle for that. We are going to reap what we sow. If we reap 100 acres of corn, you're more than likely going to have 100 acres of corn grow. It's going to happen. But we're going to get to what we're talking about here. So, really the basic lesson here is giving. That word communicate, by the way, actually if you look it up, it meant to share. So whenever you get your paycheck, Dave, you need to share it with me. You too, Tony. Now, we don't want to go to the extreme here. You remember, you got to take care of Amy, and you got to take care of Susan, and yeah, Kyle. So we got to be careful what we're doing here. What was the first church doing? The first church was all taking care of each other. That church in Jerusalem, the Lord started it, and then over, you'll find out in Acts 2, that they all come together, they have all things common. They were giving each other as each other needed. Really, that's what we're to be doing, especially to the household of faith. We're to be giving to, when, we don't just pass the plate around
just so we can pay the light bill. AC is nice, is it not? I mean, we could be outside right now. I don't know how many we'd have. It's hard to get them in here with AC. I mean, I can imagine if we didn't have AC.
Most believers in America wouldn't go to church in Kenya, Africa. They couldn't handle it. They really couldn't. I'll be up front with you. I went to Belize. We met under a little shed in, what was it, Copper Bank, I think it was. Under a little shed, and we're sitting there singing, to God be the glory, great things He had done. So it's called Mosquitoes. And by the way, we were all sweating. Do you know it was packed? You meet out here in a tent this afternoon and see how many will show up. Nah. They can't handle it. America's had it pretty easy. But we're to communicate. In other words, we're to share in six. And in that principle we're talking about, go look at Romans 15:27. Hang on to where we is at there. Romans. Where's Romans at? There it is. Romans 15:27 says, I got to find the right one. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. We're to minister unto... carnal? Listen, that just means flesh. Did you know a ribeye is carnal? Now, when I read the Scripture, that's spiritual. But when I eat a ribeye, medium rare, about that thick, that's good stuff. But that's carnal. That's feeding my flesh. Not all, just because it says carnal, it don't necessarily mean sin. So, here we go. I'm going to explain to you what I see here, and be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Where we receive spiritual blessings, we have a privilege and really an obligation to share the material blessings. Sowing to the flesh means living for the flesh. Investing time and money on things that ain't going to last. Your house ain't going to heaven. Your car ain't going to heaven. Bless your heart, my dog, as much as I do love Weasel, she ain't going to heaven. Now, it ain't nothing wrong with me taking care of her. I'm supposed to. I took her home to take care of her. I took the wife home to take care of her, and I've done a super job. Well, I've done the best I could. I'll put it that way. Nah, she didn't say amen, but anyway, I know how she really feels. We're to do that, but listen, we're to sow to the Spirit. Now, how do I mean by doing that? Because when you read this verse, if you read the last, it says, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." Well, guess what? If I get me a Harley Davidson because I got a little extra money, well, that's okay. I mean, it's not a sin for a pastor to have a Harley. Although around here you get killed on it. But it ain't going to heaven with me. And if I could have used some of that funds to help the church, to help a missionary, that's called sowing to the Spirit. That's eternal blessings, which, by the way, I might get blessed here, not only here, but up there as well. You see, the Lord blesses here just as much as He's going to up there. We can receive blessings right here when we give, when we help other people. Right here. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to get all the blessings. Some of it happens now. You may not even know some of the blessings I've received. Ain't none of your business. That's between me and God. He's blessed me in certain ways. Same thing with Brother Kevin. He's blessed him in certain ways. It happens that way because the Lord knows what we're doing and how we're doing it. Are we doing it with the right heart? You see, sowing to the Spirit means spending time and money on things that's eternal. When I give to a missionary, the things that he's going to take it and use, that's eternal. When I give extra to the church, that's eternal. When I'm paying my tithes, that's eternal. You don't want to pay your tithes? Keep them. The Lord will get it, maybe at O'Reilly's. Or it could be because your refrigerator goes out back up and say, "Now, did I short the Lord?" You can honestly do that sometimes. That's the reason Kevin's truck broke down. He shorted the Lord. No, I'm kidding. Things just happen. But sometimes they happen and we're like, "Oh. Ah, now, Listen, Tony may never know. Sandy may never know, but I don't know. When I sow to the flesh, listen, I know. And it, like I said, that's not always talking about, well, he's out there sinning. Sometimes it's just, I could have gave a little extra. Oh, I don't even carry mine around because it ain't got nothing in it. I could have gave a little extra, but nah, I'm going to keep that because I might want something else. It ain't going to heaven with me. It's not totally wrong that I have something else. But I could have given it to the Lord. And by the way, most of the time when we do that, we get a whole lot more in return. That is no joke. The Lord does bless that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It does take faith and patience to sow to the Spirit. It's not real easy to always do that because we like things. Do you not? I do. I got 3 toys in the mail today or yesterday. Well, good thing I ain't trying to use it to protect myself. I can't get it out. Oh, I got this nifty little deal here. Man, this is sweet. Got a deal, you knock out a window with it, you can cut your seatbelt out with it, and you can cut yourself if you ain't careful. There ain't nothing wrong with me having that. It's kind of handy. Especially if you wear a seatbelt. I don't have that problem, but if you wear the seatbelt and you crash and you need to get it off, you can take that, hook it in there, and just rip right through it. Hey, you can get right out. And then if you need to bust the window, you can smash. But, of course, usually you're in such a panic you don't think to do that anyway. There's nothing wrong with it. But if it took away from what I could have given to the Lord, I ain't going to get blessed for buying that. I didn't pay a whole lot for it. I got a really good deal, actually. But anyhow, so that's what this is talking about. It's talking about when we give and we give more to the Lord, guess what? The Lord blesses us more and more. The more we give, the more He'll bless. And you can't outgive Him. Malachi 3... Oh, let me read that. Malachi 3:10, if you want to turn there, if you want to, you can just listen. Malachi 3 verse 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, then there shall not be room enough to receive it." Listen, the Lord will bless you beyond what you could even imagine. I made really good money certain times of my life. But I can't show you nothing that I've really got for all that money. I didn't give to the Lord very good. And He gave back to me sparingly. I was sparingly when I give it in the plate.
He was sparingly blessing me back for it.
And honestly, that is the way it works. Verse 9. Oh, I got to hurry. We got two verses. We're done. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, I looked up some words in there. Weary really means weak. Faint really means lazy or put off. So I rewrote the verse. It could read like this. And let us not be weak or fail in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap a harvest of blessing if we ain't lazy. That's, it could have been written that way, because when you break it all down, that's kind of what it says. In other words, the Lord's saying, listen, this stuff that we think is so precious, it ain't going with you. Whenever you die, it ain't going. My three children, they know I've been talking to Jimmy about, me and him talk cowboy hats all the time. He wears a Leddy, L-E-D-D-Y.
Or maybe it's L-U-D-D-Y.
Anyway, it's made in Texas. And it's not a number one seller because they're very proud of their hats. And I understand why. So me and him were talking about his hat. He said, let me try it on the last time I was with him. I'm like, ooh, I like that. I said, don't you want... Well, anyway, he bought it off of eBay used, so he didn't pay what it would have cost at the store, which was about $1,200. And so I've been looking at American Hat Company because I like American hats, and I bought one a few years ago. It cost me a couple of $100. But I don't know. It's something's gone wrong with it. And so, I like Atwood. Atwood makes a palm leaf hat. And I love their palm leaf hats, and they fit really well. And you got the big brim on it, 4.5-inch brim and a low crown, because you don't want to walk around with a, you know, you look kind of dorky with a 12-gallon hat. And so, Jimmy and them got talking. Well, for Father's Day, they all pitched in. And this hat's a little over 300. And they said, Dad, Atwood makes a felt hat. You ought to order one. I'm like, I can't order one of them. Yeah, you can, because here's the money. They PayPal'd me in. So I ordered this hat. It's 4.5-inch brim, low crown, 10X beaver. I'm like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome if I ever get it. 3 to 6 weeks. But as much as I'll probably like it, it ain't going to heaven. Even if I die with it on, it's just going to be left there when the rapture happens. When the rapture happens, kapoom, there's going to be my hat. Somebody's going to get a nice hat. And it'll be styled right. And just because I wore it, it'll have a it'll be precious. I better move on. So what the Lord's telling us is, hey, do yourself a favor. Sow to the spiritual, because that is going to reward you in the end. I can't remember how Jim Elliot put it. And I bet I ain't got it. Most of the time I write some of these down. And it come to mind. Yes, here it is right here. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. That is awesome. When you think about that, listen, we can't keep the things that we have here on this earth except what is sown to spiritual. Amen. That we're going to keep. Verse 10, I'm going to be done. Household of faith, the church members. That's what verse 10 says. As we have therefore opportunity, which we talked about this morning, let us do good unto all men. We ought to do good unto all men. We ought to tell them about Jesus. We ought to invite them to church. If you got to, tell them I'll cook you a ribeye if you'll come with me. Wouldn't it be worth it if you went out and bought a $30 ribeye and told them that's what they can have after church, and they showed up at church and they got saved? Wouldn't it be worth the $30 ribeye? Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? Amen. You know, but then he says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially unto us that we all are here together. You see, we may help others, but we especially should help those in the church. We ought to be willing, if somebody's in a bind, to help them. We ought to be, now you got to use common sense, because there's folk that'll take advantage of folks. So you got to use your brain. The Lord will lay it on your heart. But we ought to be willing to work with people, to help people, to do things for people. Amen. And when missionaries show up, or when guest speakers or whatever, we ought to be willing to say, you know what, they need a little extra. Let's give it to them. And the Lord will bless us for it way beyond what we could even imagine.